Morning, but I can't get over that. Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you. I'm going to say it again. Good evening.
Good evening.
Because you should all be awake and you should all have energy and you should be ready to go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is Christmas Eve. This is Christmas Eve. This is the night where we celebrate God's greatest gift. The greatest gift that has ever been given to us has happened. Christmas Eve for me has always been one that it's always been weird. All right, and you might be feeling the weirdness of Christmas Eve too. I don't know, but the reason it was weird for me and always has been strange is one, I'm strange, and two. I grew up as a pastor's kid. I'm a PK. Okay, that's the pastor's kid. And every Christmas Eve was a marathon. Okay, I grew up in my home congregation. My dad would do 3 services on Christmas Eve. Okay, and we didn't get home until 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. All right, because we had to be at all of them. Well, I didn't have to be, but I chose to be because I liked to acolyte at the 11 o'clock service, which was the latest one. Christmas Eve has been, it was always this sense of awe, of wonder. You know, Christmas Eve doesn't feel like normal Sundays. You get a normal Sunday, and it's, you know, you go through it, you have your worship together, you praise God, you hear an amazing, deep, spiritually uplifting sermon, right? Yeah. You know, but Christmas Eve, there's always this, like, I don't know, this sense of something up here, this mystery, this, I don't want to call it a weight. I don't want to call it a blanket. But I want to call it something that's like more aware. Maybe there's a greater awareness. If you think about it, if you really think about Christmas Eve and what's happening tonight and today all over the world, Christians worshiping and anticipating and praising God for this great gift that He has given us, right? All day long, this has been happening. It's almost like the world is at a higher level. It's like lighter. Christmas Eve is one of those times where everything is light. Maybe it's not a heaviness that we feel. Maybe it's just this weird, strange lightness that's above us all. God sent His Son for a reason. God became incarnate for a reason. At the first service, or I should say the middle service today, 5 o'clock, I did this children's sermon. And actually the sermon was geared toward the kids. And I had this really neat setup where there was a bottle of water, and then there was a bottle of red water, and then there was a bottle of another bottle of water with magic in it. The first bottle of water represents us, you. The second bottle of water was red and kind of murky and kind of gross, and that represented sin. And the third bottle of water was clear. It represented Jesus. Okay? And the kids were all kind of everywhere. It was quite amazing. And I took the red bottle of water and I said, "This is sin. This is why Jesus came." Everyone see it? Now you're all using your imaginations, right? Everyone see this bottle of red, murky water. The kids thought it was wine. I said, "No, it's not wine. This is sin, remember. This is all the bad stuff in the world. And because we live in this world, we are affected by all this bad stuff." And so I poured it into the water, the clear water. And that clear water became what? red. He became murky. He became brown and kind of gross, right? Because we're all affected by the sin in this world. And the reason Jesus came was to get rid of that, was to take it away, was to save us from ourselves and from the situations that we caused. And so I took this bottle of Jesus, okay? You're never going to let me live that one down, are you? Because a bottle of Jesus could be wine. This bottle of Jesus was not wine, it was water. I took it and I poured it into us, into the bottle of you. And all the red disappeared. Gone. And the kids' faces, they're like, I don't know if it was fear or if it was amazement or what, but their eyes were huge. And they started yelling and talking stuff, and I was like, okay, you see what Jesus did for you? Took that sin away. Now, look what sin tried to do to Jesus. And so I took the red bottle and I poured it into Jesus, and you could see it going into Jesus, but it was turning clear as the red water hit the Jesus water. And their eyes were confused at this point. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. And I said, you know what's even better? Jesus got rid of all the sin. So I took more Jesus water, poured it into the bottle of the red water, and it turned clear as well. So we had three clear bottles of water. It's science. It's fun. But their eyes, okay, so imagine 30 kids kind of yelling, really, and talking loudly, and they're excited because it's Christmas Eve, right? They get to go home and probably open some presents. They're looking forward to it. Silence. They were all silent. They were just like flabbergasted at this visual representation of what Jesus did for us, the reason that Jesus became incarnate, very humbly, I might point out, very humbly, was to set off these events that all had to take place so that eventually he could be nailed to the cross. After taking on our sin, after taking on the sin of the world, he could be nailed to the cross where he would die. This whole birth to death scenario is very human, right? It's very human. We have all been born. Who here has never been born? Throw your arms up. You've never been born. Right. We have all been born and we are all going to die. But what's good about this point of the spectrum, when you die, there's a place for you. There's a place. Jesus rose and he defeated that death that just had so much authority over us. In Jesus, we have life. We have freedom. We have joy. It's no wonder that the angel said, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. This good news of great joy, the birth of the Messiah, the birth of the peasant king, really, born in a manger as a refugee, the poorest among poor. This Christ child would grow up to save us all. Think about that. Think about the magnitude of that. I mean, it's mind-boggling. It blows my mind. When I sit and I ponder, and I sometimes have doubts, how could this be real? How could God love us so much to actually take time to do this? It's just the truth. Just the truth. That's why it's the greatest gift ever given. The gift of salvation through Jesus. When you go home tonight and you celebrate, I don't know what your traditions are. I grew up with friends who would unwrap all their presents on Christmas Eve. I grew up with friends who would unwrap all their presents on Christmas Day. And I never knew which is what and what is which, right? When you go home and you are with your family and friends and loved ones and whoever you hold on to, I want you to see in them Christ's love. Because that's the reason you're celebrating. That's the reason we give gifts to each other, is to celebrate the greatest gift that was given to us. My prayer for you throughout this Christmas season is that it will become real for you, is that it will become something that is solid, something that you can stand on, something that will give you a true hope and a true joy. That's my prayer for you. And now, without further ado, we're going to pray. Let's pray.